We'll turn to the book of Psalms this morning. Psalms 20. You may have to control the volume, Brother Bob, as long as it don't ring. I don't have much of a voice. Psalms 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifices. Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
This is a psalm of David. I have read the different disputes of it, but yet they all fall verily into the very category of David and his writings. One man was bold enough to state these words. He said, David is composing by the anointing of the Holy Ghost a psalm which can be sung for the day of battle, when he, as king, would lead his people out into battle so that they would have a unified prayer to pray for him. If you read it in that extent, then you understand that David is asking them to pray for him. It is a kingly thing to do, and also a very manly thing to do, is to realize that in the day of trouble, we need help. It is almost a fool who would have good help and refuse to ask for it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So the psalmist here, being David, has written this psalm. We may not all be able to get to the bottom of it and understand it thoroughly, or the reasons behind it, but we sure can grab on to the comfort that it gives us in this present day. We know that we live also in a day of trouble. If trouble has not moved in next door to you, hope that the house doesn't go up for rent, because chances are trouble will rent it out. This is a day of trouble. The old timers used to preach that perilous times will come. They're here. No one preaches that they're coming anymore. We now preach how to endure them and how to get out of them, and hopefully we can escape them. The days of trouble are here. We may not have the same troubles that David had, but we will have trouble. Man that is born to woman is a few days, and those few days are full of trouble. Come on, church, say amen. We're looking at a day that we cannot control. Our rights as citizens of America are slowly ebbing away from us. The liberties that we had when we were boys are no longer granted to us as men. Today we must understand that our government has issued, under the guise of whatever pretense they want, that they can take your rights away from you if they only suspect you. They do not have to prove it. They merely only have to have a suspicion, and you can lose all your rights. Right to a lawyer, right to a speedy and fair trial. All of those things can be put into limbo until they decide whether you're guilty or not. And that's without a trial. This is a day of trouble. In this land of the free, in the home of the brave, where our blood has run for our liberties, now without a gun being fired, they're being taken away from us. And I say, my friend, this is a day of trouble. We're in a day of trouble. when a homosexual has more rights than you do. We're in a day of trouble. We're in a day of trouble. Oh, you don't understand that. I know you don't understand that. But when the people who are in government hold tenaciously to the rights that the Bible dispute and calls sin and calls a horrible sin, and they call it a living style, a life style. Amen. And then when Sally wants to marry Mary and Hank wants to marry Joe, and they all line up to get a license, and some ignorant preacher stands up and said, if nobody else will, I will. Don't see a thing wrong with it. And you wonder what happened to the Bible and the fear of God and loving His commandments. Hey, I want to tell you, church, this morning, we got a day of trouble. Are you going to help me preach? I don't want to discourage you by making it so doom and gloom to start with. But if I read the Bible right, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. If this is a day of trouble, what's tomorrow going to bring? Oh, I know it's easy to fall into the thought of Revelation 3, the Laodicean, which I believe is a last church age, this graphic church that sits there in Revelation 3 that says, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And when the church becomes so blind that it can't self-diagnose itself and see its problems within, and it doesn't even miss the master, the builder of the church, then I think we got a day of trouble. So we got a day of trouble in politics. We got a day of trouble in our government. We got a day of trouble with our civil liberties. And now we got a day of trouble right here, right here, right now in church. It's hard to have revival when nobody needs it. It's hard to convince folks that God will answer prayer if nobody's praying because they don't need to pray. It's hard to get folks convinced that they need to move closer to God when they don't even miss God out of His own house. Amen. And the continual standing at the door knocking does not arouse them. They merely just part the curtain a little bit and look and say, oh yeah, it's just him. And they go on as though it's not important. Are you helping me preach? Yes. There is a day of trouble. The psalmist said, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The only hope for Dryden Road is that the Lord will hear us in this day of trouble. That we'll be able to help our children in this day of trouble. Don't think that that spirit won't try them. Don't think that the spirit that is against us won't be against our children. Don't think that the spirit that has provoked such a wave of intolerance against anyone who stands up and says that sin will not try your children in the same onslaught. Oh yes, my friend, let me tell you something. You're not listening. Give me your ear. Come up this way mentally and let me talk to you for a few minutes. It's not a laughing matter and we can't shrug it off anymore. It's going to affect somebody that we love. And then we're going to get angry when it does. But we forgot that we already know this day of trouble. We've seen it coming. We watched it come. We entered into it. And now we're praying to get out of it. It's not going to disappear. It's not going to go away. We're now, we've watched it come. We watched as we entered into it. And now we're in it. And there's no reversing this thing to get out of it. We are in a day of trouble. Now listen to me when I tell you that when you come to church and you come to church in open sin, you come to this altar and you pray and you go back to going back into the same sin. You pray to be forgiven and then you go back and crawl into the same sin. That's a day of trouble in your life. When your sin masters you, when your sin holds you, when your sin won't let you go, when you keep returning to the same sin, after a while you're going to become apostate, a reprobate. You will not be able to discern right from wrong. You will look at good and call it evil. That's a day of trouble. When you look at white and you call it black, that's a day of trouble. Fornication is wrong. I don't care whose child it is that does it. It's wrong. No fornicator shall inherit the kingdom of God. Adultery is wrong. I don't care who practices it. Adultery is wrong. For no adulterer shall enter the kingdom of heaven. You can be those things. For Paul said, in the day of trouble, you can find help. For such were some of you. You can be washed. You can be saved. But you can't be saved and go back into that same deplorable sin. If you get saved, you've got to come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord. Then He will receive you. A day of trouble. A day of trouble when homosexuals pastor churches. And they live in open homosexuality with a companion that they cannot be married to. It's never going to happen. They may do it, but it's never going to happen because only God can marry somebody. God can only put two souls together. Amen. You may live together. You may lay in the same bed together. But if God hath not joined together, you're just living in sin. They are not helping me preach at all. You see, this is the day of trouble. Look at it. I'm just only pointing it out to you, but look at it. Here it is. It's your day. It's your day. Who had ever thought that we'd have so many people who could not be happy with themselves that they have to run tattoos around their arm, around their wrist, around their ankle. Everywhere they got a piece of bear hide, they've got to put somebody... And this is the horrible part of it. Some of them don't even know their name. So they tattoo their name so everybody can know their name. Listen to me. When I preach to you this morning, the devil is flexing his muscle. And that's to show you that if God can seal His people, then the devil can seal his people. If God can give you a mark that the devil can see, then the devil can mark his so you can see. You say, "Duke, can I be saved with a..." Oh yeah, you can be saved with a tattoo. The only thing you need to do is make sure that your sleeves come all the way down to your wrist and your britches come all the way down to your ankle and you button your collar up and nobody will be able to know what's going on underneath. Well, if that had been 30 years ago, they'd been throwing songbooks up in the air. Saying, "Whoopee, we got a preacher this morning that's going to preach. And you look at me like I need to call 911. It's a day of trouble and I can't avoid it. It's a day of trouble and you can't avoid it. It's a day of trouble and the vortex has pulled us into it. Our children are pulled into it. Our families are going through divorce. Our families are going through times. Our families are going through financial struggles. All of this is just a vortex. This last day of trouble has come in like a whirlwind and it's reached out to pull everything that's loose. Everything that can be shaken, everything that can be moved, everything that's not bolted down, everything that's not rooted and grounded, everything that can be pulled loose, the pull is on. You'll have to have something in this day of trouble to hold you. This is what the psalmist was pleading for. Send help, O God. Help on which we can depend. Help that will not fail us. Help that will not crash on us. Help that will not end in an hour. We need somebody we can depend on. And in a day of trouble, you need God. The name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. In a day of trouble, we need something to hide behind. In a day of trouble, we need something dependable to hide behind. Oh, you say, you're not much of a man. Square your shoulders and face it, all right? I'm a sissy. I'll confess it. I can't handle this day of trouble. If I've not got something holding me, I'll be swept out with it. Don't tell me the pulpit will immune you. More preachers have fallen on our generation than ever before. The reason it is because this day of trouble is not a laughing matter. This day of trouble is a perverted generation. It's a crookedness. It's a crooked generation. It's a lying generation. It's a fornicating generation. It's an adulterated generation. It's a generation that's crazy about pleasure. And in this, God, I need someone to hide me and help me. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm. You see, the psalmist there said, it's not like it was. It's just not like it was. Our fathers believed in you and trusted in you. They never were confounded. They never were ashamed. You answered their prayer. You came down from heaven. You fought their battles. You stood for them. You were their shield. You were their buckler. You were their high tower. You were the very thing that they depended upon. And you always came to them. But Lord, I'm a worm. I'm not like them. I need somebody to help me. A worm is defenseless. Until we crawl into the almightiness of God. And when we crawl behind the defense of God, all of a sudden He makes a worm to stand up and become a man. I must hurry. You and I both know this is a day that's out of control. Our government isn't going to handle it. How long have they had their drugs are? Drugs are rampant. They're so common. You can walk up almost any street in Dayton and find them. You know, we have had drug dealers busted right out of this little plat. Hello out there. Selling right down the road from the church, right between two churches, selling drugs. Come on now, say amen. Sin is not so awful far away if you open your eyes. I am the first to tell you, a day of trouble is so wearisome, it gets on your nerves, it pulls you down. Listen to what David cried out, and hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they pray towards this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest
Forgive!
Lord, I know where your dwelling place is. I know. But there was a time when there was a place where Israel could turn. Daniel turned there in captivity and found help. He opened his windows towards Jerusalem. Solomon said, we're going to dedicate this house and you're going to dwell here. Your dwelling is in heaven. But if a man turns his face towards this place and he prays, hear from heaven and move on earth. If there ever was a time when we need some place we can turn to, some direction that we can always take and know it won't fail us, if we can come back to the place where we have a sense of God and where God can be found and what God will do for us, then it's in that hour. Every one of us in this day of trouble need to turn our face back towards God and say to God, hear from heaven and move on earth. Oh, Jesus, please, Lord, stand by us this morning. I hope that the devil doesn't have you duped into believing it's going to get better. I was reading the other day, and they were building... back years ago, they were building the model city. And this preacher said he went to see the model of the model city. And he said in that model of the model city, there was no churches. And this preacher asked him, said, where's the churches in this model? And he's the man that was making the model and the men who were promoting the model city simply said, we won't need one. It's going to get so good that we won't need a church. God, help us. Don't need a church. You don't need God. And when any will offering a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be a fine flour. He shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon. He shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priest, and he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof and of the oil thereof and with all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is the thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. Here it says there is a way that we can get God to remember, a way that God will remember. For that whole burnt offering represents our gratitude and our absolute devotion as a worshiper to God. And God said, then, if you will come and give me all of your devotion and all of your gratitude, if you'll come to me as a thankful person, I will take that sacrifice and will make it a memorial. It will be a memorial before God. I say in the day of trouble, there are to be so much smoke going up off this altar as a total commitment to God that God would have more than one reason to remember us. Somebody say amen. Some folks think God don't need anything to remember. Oh yeah, He does. He needs you to do something that He can remember. He wants to build a memorial for you. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here. And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many of this man's done, how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said, go thy way, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Here, my friend, look, there he is, brought low in a day of trouble. But God in the day of trouble had him in mind all the time. Don't let think that God will lose sight of you in the day of trouble. Build a memorial so that God can remember to keep his eyes on you. Build a memorial so God can remember to keep his ears open to your prayer. Build a memorial so that God can bless you in the middle of a day of trouble. Some of our silly men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, he's a God at hand and not afar off. Praise God. Look with me at our verses again. And I'll be closing. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots. I need to read to you from 2 Samuel. You want to turn there? Turn with me. And I'm going to close. I don't think I've got much left anyway. I'm going to close telling you why you shouldn't trust in the day's world. Listen to what it says. And the Syrians fled before Israel. And David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians, and 40,000 horsemen, and smote Sobach, the captain of their host, who died there. The psalmist said, and don't trust in chariots. David, in writing this, remembered that his little old ragtag army had had nothing but the sword and the spear and slings. They went out against the most mechanized army of that day. They went out against Syria. Syria had 700 chariots. Do you remember anything about mechanized warfare? A person that could run with the speed of a horse who on his human legs could match it. They could run through you. They'd put blades out on the axles of that thing and they would whirl and just cut your legs out from under you. A host on foot was nothing against 700 chariots. That would be more than if everybody here was driving a chariot and you lined up abreast and slapped the reins on the horse's back and charged into a crowd. Who would have the advantage? Well, the man standing in the chariot. But David said, don't trust in chariots. For I remember the day when they lined up 700 chariots. 700 of their best. 700 of their best. And not only that, but 40,000 horsemen. They lined them up against us. And all we had was our shield and our sword and our spear. But we came in the name of the Lord. And when the battle was over, we counted 700 empty chariots and a bunch of empty horses, that where the horseman was knocked down and the chariots were destroyed. And that without any way of destroying a chariot. Why don't trust in chariots? When you think you've got to improve, when you think you've got to be like the Benny Hinn's, when you think you've got to be like the church uptown, when you think you've got to mimic, when you think you've got to try out, when you think you've got to have a singing group, when you think you've got to have a mass choir, come on back. God still defends His name. And they that trust in it in the day of trouble shall find God more than able to give them the defense. That's not bad for postcard preaching. There's one who will defend His name as long as there's a man on earth that can utter it. He'll defend His name. When you stand weak, trembling, in a day of trouble, you say, Lord, I depend on You. Lord, defend me. Lord, my enemies are risen up. They're coming like a wave over my head. Lord, keep me. And when the waves have settled and the clouds have dissipated and the dust has settled, He'll be standing immovable, inconquerable, because He is trusting in the Lord. If you trust in the Lord, He'll never let you be embarrassed. If you trust in the Lord, He'll never let you down. If you trust in the Lord, He'll hear your prayers. If you trust in the Lord, He'll bring it to pass. Raise your hands. Stand in this house. Praise God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now let me tell you, all this preaching will be in vain if you leave this house and you go back to sinning. I don't care if I preach the best in my life. You can make it all in vain by taking steps to go back into the sin of which God saved you from. You can't do it. Has God saved your soul? Then the best thing you can do is go back and tear down every idol. Separate yourself. If what you're looking at is sin, you know why David's second half of his life was not as great as his first? Can I tell you without you getting hurt at me? He never would give up Bathsheba. And when Bathsheba walked into his life, not that she was the problem, David was the problem, but when she walked into his life and he took those measures to get her, David never regained his first ways. Let me tell you, no matter if you think it's legitimate, he made it as legitimate as he could. He married her because he murdered her husband. Well, bless God, I'll just get my pistol and I'll just go out and shoot the guy and then we can get married. That's what David thought. But there was a world of difference between living here as a man after God's own heart and living down here where you only pass the test. And you only. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than wealth untold. I'd rather have Jesus than wealth and fame. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world can offer. Can anyone say amen? Amen. All right. Sister Teresa, come and sing for me this morning. I'm opening the altars. It's 11:53 in case you don't want to turn and look at the clock. It's 11:53, which means if you set your roast at 12, you got 7 long minutes to pray through. And if you didn't set your roast, you've got until you get hungry. And you may be right at the verge of fainting right now from hunger. Fight it off and come on to this altar and see if God will help us in this day of trouble. Thank you.